This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org, streaming on the web. It's November 8th, 2011, and we're talking with Jim Ostrowski about smart meters. Hi, Jim. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Free. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
What's on your mind tonight?
I thought I'd give Coral a call today, and during our discussion, we talked a little bit about smart meters and where we're going from here. I think Josh has one more, our leader, Joshua Hart, has one more court hearing. I'm not sure exactly when that'll be. I'm looking forward to that event. But in between then and now, we want to emphasize that people should still be out there becoming active in trying to, let's say, alleviate some of the effects of the smart meters. There's various things you can do, including removing the smart meter and getting an analog. And participate in a couple of those events. And
we want to invite
people to continue that.
It looks like we're going out onto the web, but it doesn't look like we're going out onto the radio.
Well, we are going out, though. We're going out there, and we're glad you came. And
okay,
so you're saying you're trying to get more attention on what to do about getting the smart meters removed.
Yeah, people have a few options right now. You can some of the people that have been successful have done so by going all the way up to San Francisco to the CPUC meeting and asking the president there. I guess he's the chairman, president Michael Peavy, and Peavy has graciously allowed each of the people who have asked. He's told them that the PG&E would give them an analog back. That includes our friend Caitlin here, Caitlin Phillips of Santa Cruz, and one other person. I think there were maybe a couple other persons I can't remember, but the original fellow that used this method was Mr. Shandu Vias, and he very humbly approached Michael Peavy at the CPUC meeting and asked if he could have his analog back. He explained how he had been to India, on tour of India. All his headaches were gone. As soon as he came back to the United States, his headaches returned. And PV graciously acknowledged his problem and allowed PG&E to give him an analog meter.
So basically, anyone can take that has a medical issue can take their smart meter off and send the bill to PG&E.
I would think so. I would think it'd be the it's something that's if it's a health concern, it would be an immediate priority to get rid of the smart meter first, and then ask questions later. And there have been a few people that I've helped do that. Not a few, just two people so far. But there's been others that have been helped by other members. And this what this involves is actually just getting your own analog meter.
How much do they cost?
Analog meters run anywhere between, let's say, 40. You'll find them on eBay between $40 and $70 a piece. Okay, then they add shipping, and you could pay an electrician to come out. I think in one case where this was done was Susan Beckman in Lompoc. She had was experiencing headaches and other symptoms. Basically, I think it was also her husband, who is quite a bit older than she is.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband had the had difficulty breathing, had various symptoms, and she just went ahead and called an electrician, and the electrician showed up and gave her instructions. Basically guided her as to how to do this swap herself, made sure that she observed all the face safety precautions that were required to remove a meter. Basically, mm-hmm. It's not really difficult. What happens is that someone, either the electrician or yourself, will need a set of heavy wire cutters. And this wire cutter simply removes the tag, and that's the crucial issue, removing the little padlock-type tag that's on the meter itself. This is exactly, though, what Wellington does when they come out. They remove the original tag.
Mm-hmm.
That it's the idea of the tag being there in the first place is to prevent tampering or make tampering detectable.
Oh, well, we detected tampering from Wellington, but the sheriff wouldn't do anything about it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the whole injustice of the thing, is we have what appears to be a conspiracy. Well, let's not use the word conspiracy.
That makes it more liable under Section 1983. I think it is a conspiracy between government, state actors, and a private concern.
Well, yeah. It's a conspiracy to commit two crimes. One is trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other crime is theft of property held in trust. The meter itself, although it's owned by PG&E, is there and is sealed with this little tag that I just mentioned for the purposes of detecting tampering. So mm-hmm. what ends up happening with when Wellington comes out and replaces the meter is they first have to tamper with that seal. They put on their new seal. And interestingly enough, in my particular case where I live, we have the old analog style. And when I first caught wind of this escapade by Wellington and on behalf of PG&E going out and installing radio transmitters on the sides of people's houses, I decided, well, you know what I need to do? I need to put my own seal on there. And what I did was put a band around the rim of the meter and put my own seal on it and glop that over with some hot glue. That way, it's double sealed. Okay, and I think people should do that. People that still have their analog meter should do that. What you would do is to go to Ace hardware store and get some thick cable tie type bands. Those are the kinds that have a... little slot that you can wrap a ring around the ring that's on your analog meter and tighten it down, and then you put a seal over that of some kind. That's the idea of locking it down. You also go to the expense of locking it down if you feel uncomfortable with doing that.
Then make a mark with your signet ring.
You can put your thumbprint on it, whatever. Once you've done that, if after that they break that seal, that's sufficient evidence that you could take to the sheriff. And I've been actually urging Josh, if he ever gets his hands on a smart meter that he has a discretion about what to do with it, is he should haul it down to the sheriff and lay it on his desk.
Well, they're too busy giving people's tickets for sleeping at the protest. I mean, you know, the sheriff has to conserve his budget for important matters, not actually protecting the health of the people, but, you know, arresting protesters and prosecuting them in court. I mean, because that's what's really important.
And you know, evicting people.
It makes you think, why do we need a sheriff in the first place, you know?
I hear you. Yeah. What we want to do is actually walk into the sheriff, and this has been my idea. You know that Josh doesn't seem to agree with. He wants to take the smart meter and give it back to PG&E, which I guess is an alternative. But in the case where you do that, you give up your prerogative to. See it through as a prosecutable crime. As I mentioned, the two crimes are trespass and theft of property held in trust, which is
That's up to the DA, though, or the city attorney. I get in this case,
you could pursue
DA.
That. In other words, what we could do is have the media track this with, and private media. And in fact, we've gotten mainstream media involved in a couple of cases, Caitlin Phillips and also with Manish Sheehan's case. KION TV of Monterey Salinas sent a crew out to interview Manish, and then they actually videotaped the exchange of the interim meter. Now, an interim meter is an interesting thing, is that PG&E insists that the meter belonged to them.
Sure.
I don't think I don't think that's necessarily after our experience with PG&E is some kind of requirement, because they broke the trust by removing the original meter without our permission and installing a radio transmitter in its place.
But once you put your own meter in, now it's your meter, and now they can't just take it. I mean, the first meter was their meter, so they had some right to just take it. They didn't have a right to go on your property, but they had some right to take
it. They have a right to go on the on your property. It's called an easement.
Oh, they have an easement.
You can go on the property to, and the deal was to read the meter, okay?
But not to install another one.
Not to install another one, unless there's some problem with the original meter. In some cases like that.
The original meters weren't irradiating you and causing you health problems.
Well, no, I'm talking about problems that have to do with the accuracy of the meter.
Yeah, I'm being sarcastic.
Okay. Yeah, the accuracy of the meter could come into question on either side.
Yeah.
For example, if you think it's your bill is too high and, you know, you see the thing buzzing around, maybe you have a short circuit somewhere, you can call PG&E out and they can determine if it's the meter it's at fault, and if it is, they'll go ahead and replace it. On the other side, the PG&E could say that you're using more electricity than is being registered on your meter, and this must be something you could have installed the meter upside down or put magnets on it or something. So they can come out and do that. And then, but in either case, the two of you and PG&E would get together and be able to determine a cause of the problem and be able to go ahead and resolve it in a reasonable fashion rather than PG&E unilaterally or Wellington unilaterally coming out and stealing the original meter you had and replacing it with a radio transmitter. That's my primary objection, is that people who do not want a radio transmitter on their property should have the right to refuse one.
You need a special permit or something to have isn't the amount of electricity they use or something?
You know, that's another interesting question, is that, you know, the thing is, I think the FCC allows transmitter that has less than 1 watt continuous output. And you can do that without a license, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the case where, with the smart meter, however, it puts out, it's rated at, I think, anywhere from 1 to 3 watts. But the problem with it is that these are that wattage rating is time averaged. The actual smart meter puts out a variable duty cycle, a microwave pulse, and the pulses last only a few milliseconds, maybe 20 to 70 or 80 milliseconds per pulse. Okay, so PG&E admits though that these pulses total to about 45 seconds a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you take each pulse that's 45 seconds per day, and divide that into the number of seconds in a day, let's say that you have a one watt radio transmitter. You can time average that so that it's 1 watt, recalling that 1 watt carried over a period of an entire day, 84,000 seconds, will total to 84,000 joules or watt seconds of power. Okay. So if you divide 45 seconds into 84,000 seconds, you come out with something like 1,866 watts.
That's how much it puts out in one brief burst.
In 1 second. Yeah, it goes in milliseconds. So
Say
all the 45 seconds happened at one continuous interval.
Yeah.
That would allow that 1 watt of electricity stretched out over a whole day, concentrated into 45 seconds, would mean that this thing is putting out 1,800 watts during that 45 seconds.
Wow.
1,800 watts is a beefed-up microwave oven.
That'll cook something, won't it?
That'll cook something, yeah.
How close to, you know, I mean, do you need?
Excuse me?
How close can you get to? Can I stick a marshmallow on the end to stick to my smart meter? And I mean, because there's thermal effects at that kind of wattage, right? I mean, they yeah, claim there's no thermal effects, yeah, but if you're...
If they fired this thing off continuously for 45 seconds, yeah, you would definitely cook a marshmallow on it, okay? But it's intermittent, okay? So that's the problem, and that's the thing that they try to confuse people with technical jargon when it's really high school electricity. Is what we're dealing with when they and they try to confuse it, saying it's well, it's only 45 seconds a day, and it's within FCC limits, and you know the FCC really didn't do any serious analysis.
I'm just imagining
you
know just burning somebody to death and then averaging it over a day, and oh no, it's less.
Yeah,
than, you know.
Well, the fact, yeah, the problem is that these people that are live next to these things have
it's
to endure this 24 hours a day if they're.
Yeah.
You know,
somebody said it feels like you're burning, you know, and
yeah,
their nerves and stuff.
People get all kinds of odd sensations. It's sleeplessness, headaches, various other symptoms, and it's completely understandable, and I understand it. I don't know why PG&E or the FCC doesn't understand it. They don't understand high school electricity. Everybody,
what's
know.
The other one, the CPU, whatever, CPUC or...
Excuse me?
The state one.
CPUC.
Yeah, they're denying any response, any jurisdiction over the health problems. They say that's all on the FCC because they sense that there's something going on here too, and they don't want to get
Want to get in trouble. And yeah. I think that's why each person that goes up there and requests an analog meter is getting one.
Uh-huh.
Now it's not going to be practical
for everybody
that wants an analog meter to go up there and bother the CPUC.
What if you did it as a group or something? You know, the whole everybody in StopSmartMeters.org all filled out a petition that they want a new and they just went up there
well,
a few
they,
hundred.
They can go for that. I mean. I think it's a waste of effort. I would say that the people that are affected by this should immediately contract with some electrical person to remove their meter and worry about the consequences later.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
What
yeah.
they should do is actually document the readings on the smart meter, and that means it means getting up close to the thing and taking pictures of it while it goes through the cycle. That'll take about maybe a couple of minutes.
You could hang a marshmallow from your ear to tell you're getting too close.
Well,
you know?
They don't want to get too close to it. And then go ahead and what you do is you simply switch off the main. The thing you don't want to have any kind of load going when you remove the meter.
Oh, yeah.
So what you have to do is you have to snip the seal, keep everything in a box, document everything. Have it at the assistance of a qualified electrician to be with you while you
I mean,
do
yeah,
this.
We should recommend that because people could get in trouble.
Yeah, but in reality, it's almost a no-brainer. There's you pull it out. There's four prongs. You put the new one in. And just don't touch any of the things especially the top ones. That's where all the power is. Okay,
okay.
Just don't touch those things. And put the new meter in. Okay, put all right. your replacement analog.
And that one's yours now. If PG&E comes and takes that, now you've got theft as well as trespassing.
Well, yeah, then it's yours. Since that's the case, if you can figure out a way to lock it down, I think there's a gentleman that shows up at Freedom Forum where Sheriff Wawak was put on, you know, called on the carpet by our group. He is offering a locking bar that he secures to the side of your house, which is a good alternative. That way, PG&E has to actually break something to try to get their meter back on. Now, in one case, our friend Manise looks like she is she's gotten a what they call an interim meter from PG&E. And it's a digital. However, supposedly it doesn't transmit.
Oh, that's what they tell you.
That's
but
what
how
they
do you
tell
know?
You. And the thing is they don't offer any specific information like a schematic or some kind of manufacturer's spec.
It's basically the same meter, just supposedly the transmitter's turned off, right?
No, it's actually a different looking meter.
Okay.
It has but it has a digital output and it doesn't have any FCC ID on it, so one assumes that it isn't able to transmit.
Oh, okay.
So, the other thing is supposedly these things have some kind of capability to shut off your power by remote control. And from the looks of it, I don't think That would be safe, especially if you're running a big load, if you have your washing machine, dryers, yeah. and, you know, other electrical gadgets going. And if they shut the thing off, it has to have a sizable relay in there to disconnect you, and that could easily cause, if from the size of looking at the size of this, the possibilities that are involved in the meter, I don't see that the relay is big enough to handle that kind of a inductive kickback. That's what would happen if you're disconnecting a meter under a load condition. So the things are unsafe for even the stated purpose of being able to shut people's power off by remote control. And so I think there's a lot of avenues that we have yet to explore as far as getting these smart meters rolled back. That's the goal. We want to get remove as many of these smart meters as possible, you know, per day. In other words, hopefully this will snowball into a worldwide movement where people, you know, first people have to buy their analog replacement. And we only have a few available. I think Josh has maybe 20 or 30 to offer to folks.
Last chance to get yours.
And, and so, you know, they're going to be snapped up. So look for deals on eBay and wherever you can get a good deal on a meter. And then have your electrician come out and put it in. So, you know, the question then is, after that, what are the power companies going to do? I mean, once you've you know, let them know that their meter's been replaced back to the smart meter, I mean back to the analog, then you have the option. You can either take your smart meter as a piece of evidence over to your local police and ask that they prosecute a PG&E for criminal trespass, or not PG&E in our case, it would be Wellington, I guess. We don't know what the exact details of the conspiracy was. So we could. All we know is that some outfit called Wellington is coming out and stealing these meters. So they should pursue that avenue, and then they could play good cop, bad cop, and find out from the Wellington employee who their boss is and who his boss is and who might have even conspired together to instigate this whole situation.
Now, you've done some legal work on this already. You filed some papers, right?
Well, what I did was I sent a notice to Sheriff Wawa, because ultimately I served a notice. I think someone from the Freedom Movement, I think, helped me serve papers on Sheriff Wawa.
That was me.
That was you.
That's right. I guess I'm kind of in a movement. I'm the Freedom
Movement. So, yeah, you helped serve papers movement. On Sheriff Wawick, and the papers just simply stated we're not going to allow any smart meter to be put on my specific address where I live.
Yeah. And something is a notice of you aren't going to allow surveillance.
No surveillance devices, which is what a smart meter is, or anything like that. And this is my way of personally notifying the sheriff that this was going on, so he should... He should be aware of the situation and trying to do something about it, I would think. But in my personal case, though, this has not occurred. I have not suffered an intrusion by Wellington. Number one, I think it's because of the fact that I put a double seal around the rim of the meter.
You locked it down, yeah.
Put a notice next to the meter. I actually went out and... went to Kinko's, had a laminated notice that I that I put on the side of on the service panel next to the meter, so that any intruder would be able to read that, and he would know that we don't approve of any installation of electronic monitoring device on the side of our house. Okay. So,
do you own your own house?
I'd rather not discuss that.
Okay.
Yeah, ownership in this day and age with having to do with Federal Reserve notes, you know, that's where you own things by giving other people pieces of paper and signing on dotted lines. I don't get involved in that. Okay.
It's completely hedged. He's short a house and long a house at the same time.
Yeah. So anyway, and so we want people to just, step up to the plate here. And, you know, it's not going to be a big investment. It's like I was saying, $40 to $50 for the meter. And if maybe, hopefully, if we get a smart meter in our hot little hands, or we get the opportunity to do a videotape, of how the swap is done, people will be able to put it up on YouTube and see it, and people will see how basically easy it is. PG&E has written a letter to Josh emphasizing how dangerous it is, and sure, if you touch the upper prongs on the side of your house coming into the meter, you will be electrocuted. But just don't touch those, and you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Or make sure your will is in order ahead of
right. So, yeah. So that's where we're at with that. And I think we had... Coral, we had a discussion earlier on the telephone about the court system, and I forgot what it was you asked me.
I was going to bring up what are the legal aspects of what you're talking about tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, like I'm saying, if we took there's two divisions of legality. One is criminal, the other is civil.
Uh-huh.
And so if we as people take the initiative and we go ahead and replace our smart meter with an analog, we've got a hot potato here. It's like, what do we do with this smart meter? It's a radio transmitter that
cooks marshmallows.
We could cook marshmallows. Yeah. So the question is and this is where Josh and I differ, and I think it's a friendly difference. I totally respect Josh and what he's doing. I think he's a brave fellow. He's especially brave for standing in front of a truck of a Wellington driver who's obviously angry at him. That's something I wouldn't do, right?
Yeah.
Right. So not to say that we agree on everything, but in this particular case, I think it's just a friendly difference of opinion. Josh thinks that people should turn their smart meters into the PG&E after documenting all the work they did to figure out, mm-hmm. How much make sure that they're caught up, that that they paid the bill up to date, and that the interim meter is recording correct amount of electricity. The idea of this being an interim meter rather than something you keep yourself is a matter between you and PG&E. I think it's to the people's advantage to, once they put in the new meter that they bought, is to leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the PG&E could do a simple calibration test. What you would do is take a known load, such as a 1 kilowatt heater, and you would note the number of times that the thing goes around using a single load, like a 1 kilowatt heater. Then how well it's registering, how accurately it's registering the amount of electricity used. And they can go that route to get an accurate idea. PG&E wants theirs in there because they're already calibrated at some factory. Okay, so that's the distinction. Now,
I see, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's their fault for stealing your meter.
But that's the point. That's the criminal.
They have unclean hands.
That's a criminal element of this, is the collusion on the part of PG&E to go out and just without telling the customer without giving them a warning that they're going to come out and replace the meter, or what exactly they're doing with it, that it's missing here, and I think. Or that people are missing.
Well, now you wanted to do like a criminal case for trespass, but you could just do a civil case and bill them for the cost of the electrician and the
meter.
And they're not going to send anybody to small claims to fight it, so you'll just win. You'll get in a judgment, and you'll be able to take it off your next bill.
Exactly. Yeah.
The tricky thing is they're going to claim that, well, now you have to pay this monthly fee because now we have to send somebody out to read your meter. And before we thought we were going to fire all those people, and now we have to keep some of them around. You know? It's going to be more expensive,
right?
Too, because they're not checking everybody in the neighborhood. They're just coming to see yours. So they're going to charge
that's
you a
the thing
hefty
is,
fee.
The more people that get involved in doing this and mm-hmm. removing their own meters, the less of that argument will hold any water.
Mm-hmm.
Because eventually, if we're successful, we will... reverse all of the damage that Wellington has done mm-hmm. in this county. Now, as to the rest of the world, I'm working on it. Okay.
There you go.
All right.
In fact, I would like this Tesla tower that will immediately take out all smart meters.
I would like to give everybody, all your listeners, an email address. Now, if they want a receipt for the removal of their smart meter, they could send an email to undosmartmeter. That's UNDO, then the word smart meter, at yahoo.com. And they will get a response as people I'm working with, as to what we can do to remove their meter, or what they can do to remove their meter and get back online with an analog, good old trusty analog meter.
The guerrilla electricians kind of reminds me of the movie Brazil, you know.
Well, I saw that movie. And I know what you're talking about.
You don't have a 26-stroke B for removing that meter, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean that's what we need to do, and it's not going to take. I think
isn't that weird? I mean, you go to that movie, you laugh, oh, that's just fucking ridiculous, yeah. And here it is, 20 years later, we're living in that fucking.
We're living
world.
in the Brazil reality. It's just a whole a little bit different kind of technology.
Don't mess with your utilities; you'll go to jail. You know, it's fucking silly. Well, another thing is on that. If you have a medical condition. Mm-hmm. And it's documented or whatever, then PG&E can't charge you more. They found something in the law that they can't charge you more for your electricity if you have a medical condition. So if your medical condition requires you not to have a smart meter in any vicinity around you, then they can't charge you that extra per month for reading your meter.
Yeah.
I think Joshua said his lawyer found that, and they're going to pursue that. So before you do it, it's nice if you have some kind of a doctor's prescription.
Yeah,
remove
that's an
smart
interesting
meter.
Point. Coral and I are friends with a doctor, and I work with him on various electrical projects.
Oh, there he's an
expert.
And
I bet he would be open to it. Before I mention his name, I need to consult with him about it.
Yeah.
We've talked a little bit about what we've been doing, and we are going to be getting on board. We put up a link on his site, burl.com, that links back to Josh's site about how to change a smart meter. Or switch out a smart meter, and so we'd be happy to arrange for a that's what people think they need. There's a doctor's note. Well, then we might be able to provide that, and that we can discuss that for anybody who drops us a line at that email address I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. What was that email again?
That email again is undosmartmeter
at Yahoo
with the little at sign with the A in the circle. Mm-hmm. Yahoo.com.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah, we're hoping to hear from lots of folks. And then when it gets to be where I get too many emails to deal with, we'll divide off the labor to other people, because by that time, it will become
a movement.
And, we'll get lots of people involved. And, I think the motivation for people to do this is quite obvious. I mean, when you look at this, the fact that, we are talking about enough power to cook a marshmallow, people just have to do it. I mean, if they don't want to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is why when I first learned of this, I have an electronics background.
Mm-hmm.
When we called PG&E, and they told us, oh, it's only 45 seconds a day, and it's, just 1 watt, and okay. Mm-hmm. I started me thinking, and that's how I approached this is, I forget, I guess it was maybe you when I talked to you about when there was going to be a meeting. It was the protest at 38th Avenue in Portola. Mm-hmm. That's when I first approached Josh and asked him about this, and he was quite knowledgeable as to what the nature of this signal was, and if you look on the YouTube videos of Amy O'Hare's test with her microwave RF analyzer, you can see that this thing spits out. It's the equivalent of if this signal that's coming out of the smart meter, if it was something that you could see, it would be like intermittent strobe lights going off in your face.
Yeah.
If it was something you could hear, it would be like a popping or spitting noise that occurs intermittently. And so it's not only is it...
Several times a second, right?
Well, it's like several times a minute. It's 7 to 10 times a minute.
Okay.
So if you're being able to hear this, it'd be a very it's not only, you know, a dangerously high amount of radiation coming out of it, it's an annoying thing that if well, the doctor I mentioned, we deal in low frequency alpha anywhere
continuous
from, yeah, they're continuous and they're rhythmic and they almost put you to sleep.
Whereas this thing, is a particle,
you know, almost,
it's like a particle, right?
Well, it's like it is rather than being a nice smooth waveform, it's like a particle penetrating your
like radioactivity,
sort of like radioactivity, similar, right? Yeah, it's like a microparticle that and you'd find it very disruptive if you were able to hear it. But people sense this. People can feel this thing going through them or into their brain.
Well, microwaves penetrate your body.
They penetrate. They...
not completely, but a certain distance.
Yeah, not completely. It goes into a certain... the cranium is a good insulator, but there is still, you know, it will penetrate through the bone, you know. So it's something that's definitely not good, and I really don't understand how this got past the... people like the FCC and the American...
Well, they only look at the thermal effects. They're still like 30, 40 years back on what's damaged. Whereas you're more kind of like at the avant-garde of science in this area, and you know this kind of radiation.
Yeah, this is elemental. This is not... Yeah. I'm a...
you're on the avant-garde, but you're a very skeptical point of view.
You know, I had no idea until I got wind of this over the internet, I guess, and then we called PG&E and they gave us this 45 seconds a day crap. You know, then I decided, well, there's something, we need to look into this, and this is what we came up with.
And there are other scientists who have been giving their opinions pretty rampantly and pretty broadly too, that you consult with.
Well, yeah, there are other folks out there, and don't ask me who they are right now. I think the friend I just mentioned, the doctor for sure. You know, when we got together on this, but there is Daniel Hirsch, I believe, is one. Okay, come to think of it, he's the fellow that was on the case of Fukushima. And folks, you know, we got a lot of work to do. Once we get the smart meter problem wiped off or, you know, repaired, then we've got to deal with the Fukushima situation and all the nuclear power plants. It seems really odd to me that, that we would be put in this position after all these years of having a network or a grid, let's say. They call it a grid now. This gridlock sort of thing where we're held hostage by our own power plants.
Hell yeah.
How do you mean?
Well, the fact is that these nuclear power plants require, whenever there's an emergency, like a big earthquake, they require external power. They have to be powered down for one thing. In an emergency, they're no good whatsoever. They have to be powered off, or the control rods have to be inserted into the all the way into the thing, making the reactor useless. That it doesn't generate any
steam,
power.
Yeah.
And then, in order to keep the decay heat from melting the thing down, then you have to have external power to actually feed this power system. When you think about it, only an enemy would think this in this way, that we're going to put a network of these power. Hungry nuclear power plants that can't do anything in an emergency. In fact, when there is an emergency, you have to pay attention to what they're doing. You know, this is an outrageous inefficiency. It goes beyond stupidity. It gets into the area of malevolence when somebody would actually conspire to do this. And you know. Before Fukushima happened, I guess, you know, maybe we could, at least in my case, I wasn't necessarily in favor of nuclear power, but when I saw what happened here, I began to question as to if there isn't some force that is, like, maybe from some other planet that figured out, well, we can, you know, put a stranglehold on the Earth by, you know, giving them nuclear power plants all over the place. For criminy sakes.
might not be too far from the actual truth.
I don't know. You know, well, see, when you get to that stage, I think people are looking for answers to where very possibly there's some kind of a vast intergalactic or interstellar thing that's going to come and save people. I think that there's
a, I don't think so.
Well, I know, but there's in the Christian Christian philosophy, especially there's different sects of Christianity. Of course, there's referring mainly to the mainstream Protestants,
right?
That believe in a thing called a rapture, they're resigned themselves to the idea that we're going to have all kinds of problems leading up to the second return of Jesus Christ.
Uh huh.
But the good people, or let's say if we were, you know, if I included myself and all the people that were in Christians that believed in this rapture idea. God is going to come somehow and, I suppose, with a big flying saucer and a tractor beam, pull them out of their lives. They're supposedly, these people just kind of disappear like...
beam me up, Jesus.
Beam me up, like in Star Trek, right? And then the whole world's going to go to hell after that because, you know, those are the bad people. And they're, you know, this whole science fiction idea is, I think there's a lot of people that actually believe this and are kind of going along with what's going on. They stay glued to their TVs because the televangelists will tell them, oh, yeah, it looks like, you know, Jesus is just around the corner. The Lord's coming here. They refer to this being as the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And when it very might be, that might whole idea might be a trap in itself. I don't buy that, even though I am a Christian. I don't buy this this rapture idea. I think.
Do you believe that there's smart meters in heaven?
Smarter.
No. So,
they use the old analog ones, you know, with the lightning bolts and stuff.
Yeah, so people, we need to get out of this, and we need to work to...
No, we're fucked. What do you mean? We're fucked. I mean, just from the greenhouse effect. I mean, in a few decades, it's going to fuck everything up big time.
Well, okay.
Loss of food. Nations are going
to
collapse.
No, we've got a lot. I'm saying we got a lot of work to do. We got to dismantle these nuclear power plants, get rid of the smart meters.
Get rid of the car.
And you know, cut down on our driving and all this stuff. You know, but let's just do one thing at a time. We act. You know, I think
we're fucked.
Act
it's
locally.
Too late.
Yeah, do what you can within your own sphere of influence.
Occupy.
You know, and just do the job, and don't expect some rapture thing that's gonna what do they call it on Star Trek?
The Jehovah's Witnesses tell me that's all bullshit. Anyways, yeah. It's not gonna happen.
Occupy. Yeah.
So. Yeah, well, according to the Bible, anyways, this, you know, Satan runs the nations of the world. You know, he offered Christ power over all the world. This is already Satan's domain.
Well, you know what?
Which means this is hell, right?
You know, that's a good point. It's a very, it's something I've actually thought about for a while. Is this hell? It's not that bad.
It's not that bad, like, exactly. You know?
Yeah, hell is like, you know, really miserable. I mean, you know, you got.
But doesn't it seem to get worse every year? I mean, you
it
know.
Gets, yeah, it seems to get worse
every
year. A little
bit worse every
year.
But
I think that the thing that's really bad is that, you know, is we have developed an attitude that it's all inevitable and there's nothing we can do about it.
And therefore,
we don't do anything.
You can do something.
Would be hell.
Yes. Well, that's part of what the corporate political situation pushes on us. You know?
And I get this in my personal life with people. A lot of people that I talk to and deal with. It's like, oh, well, it's the Agenda 21. Okay, the Agenda 21 is some big, powerful thing. That where people that are in this super program, I've got it all figured out, and they're going to have this program, and it's going to be rammed through no matter what. And there's, and basically, if we're not careful, and we should not talk to the police, okay? Well, I think the number one people we should be talking to and hammering away at is the police. And if that means going down to the, I wouldn't, you know, this place over here, this 701 Ocean Street, I would not get anywhere near that place.
Yeah,
but there's a couple of substations. I think there's one at Cabrillo. There's one at.
Are you talking about the sheriffs?
Sheriffs, right?
Yeah. We'll go down there and talk to them.
And then you can go. Yeah, you can walk in there and have a chat with. I think it's Deputy Fish at the Live Oak station. I don't know who else it is at the other.
The fire department.
Yeah, right near the fire department. In fact, a friend of mine and I went in his office one day and had an interview with him about smart meters. And basically, you know, and this was early on in my participation, so I wasn't really hip to everything that was going on. But we asked him, well, you know, what do you think we can do? I mean, here's, you know, we kind of described what was going on. And he said, well, it's going to be a matter of whether the DA can prosecute this. And he kind of passed the buck on me.
Of course.
We went up to, you know, he said, but you can always talk to the actual sheriff. And then our friend Jeff Nordahl went and visited Sheriff Wawak after his interview with the Freedom Forum. And he found the guy very distracted. You know, in other words, he couldn't really conduct a straight talk with him because the guy was Sheriff Wawak was apparently on the phone with his corporate superiors. So
yeah, I suppose he has no superiors, you know, other than the board of supervisors.
That's the theory is that, you know, he doesn't have any superiors because he's the ultimate authority in the county that he's been put in charge
of. Those people at the Freedom Fair, they believe that the sheriff has, you know, a certain, you know, almost God-given political right over the president.
He should have ultimate authority over the county, and I think that's been demonstrated in at least two cases, Sheriff Mack, and then there's another sheriff. I think it was the sheriff of Nye County. I can't recall his name right now, but that fellow stood up against the Bureau of Land Management in favor of one of his constituents, and it's interesting when you go to this Nye County Sheriff's website, he refers to his constituents as customers, and like the customer comes first. I think that's kind of clever. It's just like we're gonna stand up for our customers against the mighty government, you know. And so
we have a defective sheriff, though. We need to get a new one. Speaking of which, how did that recall effort go? Are they out of time?
I think it's gonna poop out.
Yeah. It's too many names, really.
It's like getting all these names, and I'm not sure. I hope it doesn't, but I don't think unless we keep hammering, and this is what, you know, I've been trying to influence Josh to have a look at, is we keep the publicity going against, against the sheriff. Now, we're going to have to work for the Live Oak office because, number one, the sheriff station, or the 701 Ocean Street, because maybe I shouldn't be talking about this. Maybe they're listening because, you know, we're talking about strategy here, and I don't want to get into it. So let's jump that one because, you know, there's other things we can discuss. So, I think it's really important.
I could use the listeners to us. We already got any as it is.
The basic idea is we want to keep the pressure on, with the local sheriff. And so whatever means to do that would actually help the recall movement, or the recall petition. The more we bow to PG&E's wishes is that we keep this a civil matter, then that whole recall idea is kind of going to fade into the woodwork. So this is where I think it's really important to emphasize that that Wellington perpetrated crimes against people by stealing their precious analog meter that they'd trusted for so long, and they stole that, and that item's a piece of missing property, and we don't know where it is. We still don't know where people's analog meters went. And
then you're up against the DA's not going to prosecute, though. You can't make the DA enforce the crime, and you can't enforce crimes as a citizen.
But you can bring it to the attention of the media.
You can do that. Yeah.
Enough people banging the door of the DA down, you know, in that
they're susceptible to elections, so yeah.
Which is,
why are we spending all this money harassing people for sleeping when you got PG&E and Wellington poisoning people with electromagnetic
dangerous
radiation?
And that's the thing, is we need to keep hammering the people.
Because that's what the sheriff said. Oh, we can't afford to go around and arrest Wellington.
Then
if they don't,
then people are going to have to turn to, and that's what, you know, like when they organize little freedom forums, we organize the smart meters. People look to us as some kind of a means that they can get justice. If they can't get justice from 701 Ocean Street, they're going to come to us. Okay.
Well, you don't get justice there. I've been there several times. There's no justice there.
There's no justice there, exactly. Yeah. That's it. And that's my whole point about this place.
That's why there's a protest there every year.
When 701 Ocean Street was constructed, prior to that time, that we're talking about the early 60s, there was a little courthouse, a brick courthouse, where I think the Cooper House was in that area. That courthouse served this county just fine. And all of a sudden, they announced plans that they're going to construct this gigantic, ugly thing, that this building that resembled something out of George Orwell. I think I mentioned that in the interview. I think it's just, we've lost control of this government. It's gotten out of control. This thing represents the whole corporatocracy, however you say it.
It's fascism, because there's states involved,
it's
too.
It's not providing justice. It's providing the opposite of justice.
Well, it does provide several good toilets, but if you're a member of the Occupy, their permit is now denying them use of any of the toilets in the government building, courtroom, or even the bathrooms in the park. And it's a potty war.
Right. And so, it's turning out where people cannot really get any justice from this from this system. The only people who participate with what it's doing is lawyers, people who have some kind of monetary interest that they can figure they can get money from someone else by participating in a court hearing. You have that sort of justice for them, but where's justice for Joshua Hart? I mean, instead of being rewarded for pointing out this gigantic criminality.
Crime, yeah.
Ongoing criminal enterprise.
Yeah.
He gets fined $200. And this is just unconscionable.
There's another trial that he and Heidi are waiting to get heard about.
Yeah. I'd like to say one thing about my participation in Josh's original trial, his first trial for blockading PG&E's billing office, is that there's something there. I'd like to ask you, is there something up there about people wearing hats in court?
You can't wear a baseball hat. Unless you're a member of the jury, they can wear any foolish hat they want. But no, you can't.
Well, why is this?
I don't know. They want to keep the Quakers out. I don't know. Quakers, they wouldn't remove their hats for anybody.
I think our friend...
sunglasses, too.
One of our friends, the people in our group, showed up there. And got her, the sheriff or the bailiff told her she couldn't wear a hat. And I'm just wondering, the only places that I know of that have restrictions about people having headwear on are churches. In the Jewish faith, it's required that the gentlemen wear a hat, not the women. And in the Catholic faith, it used to be that, I think they recently, overruled this or made it not a requirement. But in the Catholic faith, women were required to wear a veil or some kind of head covering. Men weren't allowed to wear a hat in church. So this leads me to wonder: is there something going on in this court system that has some kind of religious significance? For example, we see the judges wear these black robes.
That's where the courts come from. They were originally, religious courts. Half of them were king's courts. Half of them, the equity courts were all religious courts. And they got combined just like, the municipality and the...
Or to take it to another dimension, maybe they're fearful of another Unabomber or some kind of like...
So the Unabomber would sneak a bomb under his hat, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Or a
microphone. That's the thing, So, it doesn't make any sense, but I don't see that does anybody know if there's a actual law saying
it's right outside the court on a plaque that you can't have a
no hats, no sunglasses, but if
you're on a jury though, you get away with it.
You're not supposed to bring reading material in either. That's what I was told. You can't make a lot of noise reading.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Is like
they don't like it when you bring in constitutional issues either. They don't really.
Oh, they don't like those little constitution.
They're not organized to really handle that. Yeah. They're just infractions and misdemeanors.
Have you experienced that where you brought in a copy of the Constitution? They would frown on that, or
they don't
rule against it.
They don't really understand it. Yeah.
beyond their judicial training.
Yeah. So what's next, Jim?
You know, it's going to be, it's. I think you should ask that question to Josh, as far as what his agenda is,
we'd love to get him
where he's going with it, and he's really a busy fellow, and you know, and I've heard lately that he wants to. He's so overwhelmed with this, the amount of EMF in this county.
Yeah, he's thick
that on he wants to actually, you know, move somewhere else. The Green Bank, West Virginia, is getting a lot of attention now because it's a radio quiet zone because of the big radio receiving telescope that is in that area. So he's thinking of moving there. And then there's other people that are coming on board that might take over the leadership position. I'm not interested in being a leader, because I believe in my own individuality. Will come up with whatever my participation is, and I can't tell you what I'll be doing tomorrow. You know, I mean, if something might come up, the phone might ring. You know, somebody has something going on.
Wellington might put out a hit on you.
Yeah. So, you know, so it's to me, it's a day-by-day adventure, but it's an interesting contest. It's called the Contest of Freedom. And, you know, however that works out, this is what happens. This is God's will, you know. So I'm ready to serve the cause is in whatever way is practical for me. And, you know, that might mean that I go out and help somebody change out their smart meter for an analog. I have...
You are an electronics expert.
Yeah. And so, I'll be available to do that kind of work. People email me once again or email us. There's more than one person involved in this, of course. There's several folks. Email our Undo Smart Meter. That's UNDO, Smart Meter, at yahoo.com. Just email us if you have any kind of problems, need any help or instructions about how to remove a meter. We'll be happy to write back to the extent that we can. If we get so many emails that we can't handle it, then we'll get volunteers to help.
Does that also include guarding your old analog meter? Will you?
Well, yeah.
Get people
instructions? There's ways that you can prevent, and there's like I have a picture of a legal notice that I put up on our meter that's prevented. And even though it's not securely fastened with iron bars, it's not been bothered. Right. In our neighborhood, unfortunately, the people that live adjacent. We kind of have our situation is where we're away, quite a ways away from our neighbors, but, you know, maybe 50 yards or so. But several of our neighbors have received the smart meter, unfortunately for them. And so I'll be talking with those neighbors modifying our website so that people will be more aware of the possibilities or the choices they do have. It is no big yank to get your analog meter back, or an analog meter back in not be bothered by these outrageous intrusions of microwaves into your environment.
Okay.
All right, well, there you have it. We're running up on to the next show here. This has been Free the Land for November 8th, 2011, talking to Jim Ostrowski about smart meters, the law, and taking it into your own hands.
All right.
Thank you.